Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. It is 11 minutes past 11, and I'd like to take this opportunity to wish everybody a Chag Sameach, a happy holiday. Today is Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer, the counting between Passover and Shavuot, between Pesach and Shavuot, where we count all the way from when the Jews left Egypt until the day they received the Ten Commandments, the Torah on Mount Sinai. And today is the 33rd day in that counting, and is a great, great day of celebration. It is a day where those who have been very strict not to observe any sort of joy in the sense of cutting one's hair or listen to music or shaving or buying new items, that is lifted today, and people really go out and celebrate. And Jews around the world use this as a great day of joy to get together and to really just to commemorate the good things that we have in our life. We all know that the story of Rabbi Akiva, the great saint, or the great rabbi rather, whose students died because they did not have enough respect one for the other. They stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, and that gave us the impetus to keep going on. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva found a small kernel of students that he could start all over again with. And he re-established the learning of Torah, the transition of our faith from one generation to the next. And Rabbi Akiva really epitomizes this idea that from the ashes we can come forth. From the loss of all these students who were his greatest achievement, because they embellished and they embodied that which he taught and that which he stood for, and that which he had spent 40 years learning to in order to give over, they died. But yet there was just one or two or three or four or five that survived. And from those, he was able to rebuild. And so too, all of us should look at the challenges in our lives, the challenges around the world, and not see it as a sense of absolute doom and gloom. It can be very, very scary at times. And at times it can be very foreboding. One turns around and says, what is going on? Where do we go? But you need to know that just as the sun sets, so will the sun rise. And that might happen for many days, for many months, in some cases for many years. Think of Jews, think of people in the Second World War, in the Holocaust. How many sunsets did they watch? How many sunrises did they witness? And yet they had the fortitude to go on. And those who were lucky enough to be spared, those who survived, built what we have today. We are the children of that generation. And therefore, we need to take Lag BaOmer as a time, not of despair, but a time of great joy that we have the opportunity to go forward. How does this relate to financial planning? Well, we do have a really interesting guest coming on at half past, Dr. Brennan. Dr. Brennan is somebody who comes from the same stable as myself, comes from Discovery. And while he was there, he developed an idea called the Wealth Index Report. And I'm really going to leave it up to him to expand it. But that really gives a balance sheet look, a snapshot look at the financial wealth of South Africans, where we stand as a whole, where we stand as a community. And it gives a rating from 0 to 100. And it gives us an idea as to where we stand. And therefore, you and I can benchmark ourselves against that. You can go online. It's www.frankfranc.app, and then you can find the Frank Index there. Read through it, do one for yourself, have an idea as to how the whole system works. But that's what we've got coming on now. So really, one thing that I see a lot in my practice is two extreme opposites. One, you'll get people who will come in with a significant amount of money, but they are swearing between their teeth at the person who sold them this rubbish. that's underperformed, never done well, never got service. But had it not been sold to them, in their eyes, if they're not been, had they not been hoodwinked into taking these policies, they actually would have nothing to show in a financial sense today. And then you've got the other extreme, are those cynics who are the braai experts and know everything about property investment, the stock market investments, bonds, gilts, the whole shooting match. And yet when you peel away the facade, there's a scared little person running around who actually hasn't had the guts to do anything. Those are two extreme examples, come across them often. And why I bring that up is that on Lag BaOmer, on an opportunity like today, we've just come through Pesach Sheni, the second opportunity that those who weren't able to bring the sacrificial lamb for the Pesach, the Passover sacrifice, had a second chance. When it comes to financial planning, you always have a second chance. You will never make up the years that you missed, but rather have something than nothing. In a South African context, if you have been too busy living, too busy just getting through the grind of life with the cost of living, cost of school fees, cost of rates and taxes, high interest rates, and you haven't been able to do anything, and now finally you've got a bit of space to breathe, and you do this example online, you find a calculator, and you feed in the data, and it tells you that you need to save some sort of monopoly amount of money every month in order to retire. Don't despair. You're not going to retire. But change the focus. Look at what medical aid costs for yourself and your spouse. That's it. Take children out of the picture. Take your aging parents out of the picture. Just the two of you. Put it in as an inflationary increase at 10%. That should roughly give you what it does year to year. And aim for that. Can you imagine if you could retire knowing that your medical aid was covered? That would help one huge amount. Because unfortunately, medical aid in South Africa is an imperative in order to get really good health care. I have heard stories where government systems are really catching up. But for those of us who really prefer to go to private hospitals, this is the way to go. And if we could save for that, and if that could be our aim, we would really be far down the line than rather being skeptical and saying, nothing is going to do it. I'm too late. I'll just have to work forever. It's very easy to say that when you're 45 and you have your health. But when you're 20 years down the line and life takes its toll, and certain events have happened to you, please God, they don't. It's not so easy to work. First of all, if you're used to being employed, who wants you? And second of all, if you're running your own business, do you really have the energy to keep running it? Well, anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to continue this thought. And I'm just going to answer queries that people have about the change in the budget about retirement annuities. Let's take a quick break. I'll be back with you in a moment.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to 101.9 Hi FM. It is 21 minutes past 11. And before we get back into retirement savings, let me just let you know that Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional help to help you manage your health risks. Whether you're having regular wellness checks, such as your blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services. And these include female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. It's fast, it's affordable, and it's most importantly done with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics inside your closest Dis-Chem pharmacy. Better health starts here. So I've got a few questions that have come up over the last 2 or 3 weeks about how the change in the budget with retirement annuities actually affects people. So let me break it down into three different steps. And if you just follow it silo by silo, you'll be able to work it out for yourself. So number one, the way it works is that the government wants to encourage you and I to save for retirement. So therefore, what do? They say that you can deduct up to 27.5% of your gross income towards retirement products, whether it's a pension, provident, a retirement annuity, or any of those three, or in any formation that you would like. In other words, your total saving across the three is 27.5% of your gross salary. Let's just use simple maths. If you earn 10,000 Rand a month, you can deduct 2,750 Rand roughly against your salary towards a tax deduction for retirement savings. How does that affect you? It affects you that the SARS taxes you on 10,000 minus 2,750 on 7,250. That's what you get taxed on. You don't get taxed on the 10,000. You get taxed on the lesser number. In other words, your gross salary less that which you contribute. Yes, I can hear a lot of you saying, but yes, I'm at a company and they just deduct PAYE. Correct, they do. But at the end of the year, you'll get a certificate from your insurance company. The same certificate is sent to SARS. And when you do your e-filing, that figure should already be there. And you'll see how it reduces the tax that you pay. So the question now is, what change was made in the budget? Well, for those who are higher end earners, the limit that you could put in was 27.5% of your income, limited to 350,000 Rand a year. So if you take 350,000 and you divide it by 12, there was roughly 29,000 Rand a month that you could put into an RA. At the maximum. So if 29, let's round it off to 30,000 Rand, was below 27.5%, you were safe. But if it was way below and you wanted to put more in, you could put more in, but it wouldn't go towards your annual tax deduction. The amount has now been increased to 430, and that's close to 36,000 Rand a month that you can put away as a tax deduction. So if you're at a company and they are deducting 7% from yourself and 7% from them, you've now got a 14%. You've still got another 13% to play with. You could increase it as long as you don't go above the 430,000 Rand total annual deduction. That would allow you to deduct that. So silo number one is 27.5% of your gross income. Silo number two is the limit has been increased from a maximum of 350 to 430,000 Rand per year. The third silo is the two of them coming together. So if you look at your income, and let's take a person who's earning 150,000 Rand a month times 27.5%. That is 41,250 Rand a month times 12 is going to give them 495. They are above the 430,000 threshold. And therefore, they can pay that into retirement annuity or pension, or provident, or any mix-up they want, but they can't claim it as a deduction in this year. So I can hear a lot of you saying, and I've had this answer, this increase makes no difference in my life. But yes, it makes a difference in many people's lives who earn above a certain amount, and it allows them to put more towards savings, and it allows them to get a greater tax deduction on an annual basis. The cynics would say, but who cares? Those who earn more can afford to put away more. They can afford to have slush funds. That's all good and well in theory. But we all know as South Africans, if we are honest with ourselves, and not only South Africans, citizens of the world, is that your income rise, sorry, your expectations rise to meet your income. Your expenses rise to meet your income. The comforts that we would like, the extra help in the house, the nice car, the holiday, the privilege of putting your children in really good schools, the privilege of being able to give charity, that is a tax deduction, depending on how you do it. But those are the costs that we live with on an ongoing basis. And it's really, really important that one who earns a little bit more takes advantage of this little extra leeway, this little extra space that we've been given by the Minister of Finance in the latest budget, because it'll just allow you to save that much more, and the compounding effect thereof, number one. Number two, get a slightly more, a greater tax deduction than you would have got before. And number three, increase your money that is protected and ring-fenced for retirement. What do I mean by that? If you have honestly put your money towards retirement, in other words, you haven't done it in a fraudulent manner, you haven't done it in a way to launder money, so to speak, and life happens, and you happen to lose your wealth for whatever reason, your retirement money can never be touched. It can never be attached, whether you're alive or you have passed on. And why that is so important is that if somebody passes away insolvent and they have left retirement money, that money will go to their estate, it will go to their beneficiaries. It won't go to pay creditors. Again, if everything's upfront and clear. And I've had cases like that in my practice where exactly that has happened, where, a very small businessman, in the sense that he ran a one-man electrician business, but had saved in retirement annuities his whole life. But by the time he passed away, he was ill. He wasn't really of sound mind. He had passed his prime as an efficient business person, and he owed everybody money. The garage for petrol, the suppliers, the tools, clients that he that were coming back to him for jobs that hadn't been done correctly, etc., etc., rent, behind on the payments for his vehicle. But yet he had this pot of gold that his two daughters were concerned that they were not going to get. I remember one flew in from Dubai and one flew in from the UK, and we assured them that they had nothing to worry about. And that was the case. Whatever assets they were left in their estate besides the retirement annuities were then divided up amongst the creditors, and they got whatever they got. But his intention to, you know, either leave it for his children or to provide for himself really came to the fore, and he was able to do that. And as I speak to you, I see Craig looking at me. Our guest should be joining us any moment. But in case our guest is a bit late, which he is already at the moment, let's not worry about that. And let's continue with some of the questions that have come through from you. So the first question has come through, and again, this is not in this show. I'm reading from the list that I get sent on a weekly basis of questions that come into the show. The question about this one was particularly, what happens if I contribute more than I should for a tax deduction on my RA? Will I be penalized? The answer is no, you won't be penalized. The money will still be accepted and it will still grow. But let's unpack that a little bit. So let's say you contributed 450,000 and the maximum is 430,000. What happens to that other 20,000? Well, that other 20,000 will go into the investment, it will continue to grow, and it will be part of your retirement savings. You will get a tax deduction on it when you start drawing an income at the other end of the cycle. And I only had time to answer one question, but I see that our guest is with us. Thomas, can you hear us?
I can hear you well.
Great. Welcome to Chai FM.
Thanks very much, Avi. Great to be on board.
Great. Sorry, I'm just playing with my screens over here. I need to ask you, have you ever watched the series Bones?
I don't think I have, actually.
Because there is also Dr. Brennan, but very different to you.
Good to know. Maybe I'll check it out.
How's that for an icebreaker or a bone breaker, so to speak? Dr. Thomas Brenner, CEO and founder of Frank, thank you so much for joining us. I must say, I read the Wealth Index with great excitement as a financial planner, and I understood exactly what you were basing it on, obviously having been at Vitality and worked through that process. But maybe just give us a synopsis as to what it is and how you decided that this is where you wanted to spend your energy.
Well, the most important thing for me is sort of to understand like where does the country stand? As you know, there's been a lot of work that's been done around financial literacy, but I don't think that's anything that's focused on financial well-being. And as I'm sure you are aware, there's a lot of pressure on many households in South Africa now. Real wages haven't really increased over time. Inflation is up. I think people are feeling squeezed. So what we wanted to do as a business is actually develop a measure, which is the Wealth Index, that allows us to kind of capture the state of financial well-being, and then obviously conduct a large-scale surveys that we can provide individuals, companies, institutions, and hopefully also policymakers to better understand like what is the state of financial well-being, how can we improve it, where are the gaps, and what are the insights we can draw from the data that we're collecting.
That's absolutely fascinating because you really laid out the emotion at the beginning is that we're very quick to say South Africans aren't great savers and Japanese are wonderful savers. Most of us know that South Africans are not great savers because the ability to save just gets more and more challenging on an ongoing basis. You mentioned in the press release that there's three different sort of areas: the resilience, growth, so resilience, growth, and mindset. Please just unpack that for us a little bit, just to give our listeners an insight as to what they should be thinking about when they shift their mind towards savings.
Will do. And I think just you touched on it earlier, but my past work experience at Discovery, where I'm sure you're familiar with the Vitality Age, was trying to give a holistic view on somebody's physical well-being. Obviously, they'd looked at some of your biomarkers, it looked at your diet, and also looked at your mental health. In a similar way, we have used that same approach when it came to financial well-being. So resilience speaks to what is the state of your emergency savings? Are you budgeting? Are you on top of your debt? When it comes to growth, we talk about, are you investing? Are you prepared for retirement? Do you have a sort of financial plan in place? And then lastly, the mindset speaks to, what is the level of your financial knowledge? How confident are you feeling in terms of managing your money? Are you feeling stressed? Are you feeling anxious? The ambition was to try and provide a holistic view of your financial well-being, which cuts across all of those dimensions. I don't think one is more important than the other. They obviously have interactions, and we even see in our data people that have emergency savings, for example, feel less stressed, and that would be, to be expected.
Thomas, you really make the point so clearly that once you have all those things in place, it takes away a lot of the emotional or even subconscious emotional burden. But where I think this generation has an advantage over, let's say, even my generation, I went to school in the 70s and the 80s, and I remember very clearly driving to school, and my dad would listen to the radio. And this chap would come on, and I didn't understand a word he was saying. Not a word. And I kept thinking, I don't think I'm the daftest guy around. I should pick up a little bit. I should get just an idea of what he's talking about. And I remember then my first year of varsity, where I had my own car and I started listening to 702, and Magnus Haystack came on. And then I realized Magnus is talking about exactly the same subject as the other guy on the other radio station, but I'm engaged. I understand. It's in terminology that sort of gets me involved. And besides the fact that I was doing a BCom, it just got me educated simply by listening. How important do you think that is for investors today to take responsibility for their own education?
I think it is very important, and I think that we do live in an age where you can ask, ChatGPT to teach you about compound growth, for example. I think there are tools available now that give people that opportunity. The one thing that I just want to pull out from the report that we saw is actually a significant portion of the respondents, so about 60%, said that their financial knowledge was at a sort of intermediate and above level. So, reasonably knowledgeable. Yet our respondents had very low emergency savings. 87% of respondents actually didn't have enough money to cover 3 months of expenses. And I think for me, there's obviously a disconnect there because people claim that they have knowledge, but then aren't doing the things that will lead to better financial well-being. So, what we observe then is that there's a bit of a gap between sort of knowledge and action. But I completely agree with your point that, we all, what's that saying? What's true in life? Death and taxes.
Yeah.
Everyone should know a little bit about their personal finances, and I believe also a little bit about their human biology. But the reality is a lot of people don't. And I think that's a failure on one could argue, the education system, not actually breaking it down. Also on commentators, I think very often people talk at the very high level of finance, which a lot of people just don't understand or can't relate to. There's not enough, in my opinion, of really helping people understand what behavior is important, how can they start building those behaviors up, what are good kind of rules of thumb that they should abide by in terms of managing their personal finances. And that's really obviously the place that we're trying to play as a business, and obviously what the report as well is trying to identify, like, what are the behaviors that we can that you should have in place that really lead to good financial well-being?
Dr. Thomas Brennan, let's take a quick break, run to the shops, and when we come back, we'll continue talking about South Africans' Wealth Index.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to 101.9 Hi FM. It is exactly 20 minutes to 12, and on the line with me is Dr. Thomas Brennan, who is the CEO and founder of Frank. Thomas, you were just saying before the break about the mindset and what South Africans need to do to sort of engage. And I remember there was a, I forget her name now, a very famous American financial planner that came out. And one of the things that she said was, you need to be brave to manage your finances. I remember driving and thinking, okay, well, that's nice, but what do you really mean? And then she unpacked it and she gave two perfect examples. The one was you stand at the ATM and you draw money, close your eyes, put your hands together, and pray that you hear that sound of the machine counting the bills. And then when the slip comes out, it's a single motion grab, crunch, bin. Says, that's not brave. That's a coward. Look at the slip. Understand where you are because it's not going to change. He says, the other thing is when people say, I don't look at my bank account, I don't know what's going on in my bank account. Once again, she says, that's cowardice. That's not brave. And it's not being unpleasant or being unkind. One needs to be, understand exactly where you stand in order to go forward. How does Frank Wealth Index fit into that? And how can people engage with Frank in order to give themselves the chivalry that they need to go forward?
Yeah, it's such a valid point, Avi. I think the first thing for me is, looking at the data, we definitely that see that there are certain behaviors that allow people to take control of their finances. One of them, as you rightly said, know what's happening with your money. look at your expenses, you know, look where your income is being distributed on a monthly basis. It's also, I think there's a point about being brave, giving yourself the opportunity to be brave, especially when it comes to investing. So for example, people that have emergency savings in place tend to have the headspace to say, okay, well, now I can take some risk because I know that I've got a financial buffer that will cover me in case something goes wrong. So you kind of have to give yourself the opportunity to be brave. There's one other element, though, that I would also just mention on the bravery side. We do see it again. There are certain behaviors that once people start doing it, they have significant knock-on effects. So there's also bravery, I think, in taking action, taking that sort of courageous step. And the two, what we call keystone behaviors, and they're obviously closely linked with one another. One is setting up a financial plan, having some idea of what are the priorities in your life at the moment, you know, putting them down on paper or setting up an account that allows you, like the Frank app, to set up these various financial goals. And then the second is actually setting up the systems around investing seamlessly. So setting up that sort of, you know, monthly stop order to immediately sort of pay yourself first and allow your money to be allocated to those various goals. We see once people have those two in place, it really is, it lifts the entire sort of financial well-being of the individual. They tend to, oh, I want to maximize how much I'm saving. Let's look at, you know, getting better with, you know, managing my debt or managing my expenses. They have significant knock-on effects. So you can see once people start doing those really two simple things, setting up a personal financial plan for themselves and actually start putting money towards that, you see the sort of positive knock-on effects in their general financial well-being.
You know, there's another element to that, and just to mention it to you and to discuss it, and it is fascinating for me to see on a daily basis where, you know, you'll get a person who's senior in his life, in his 70s, 80s, whooping through the different apps, using them, counting the points, the paybacks, like really getting engaged. And then you'll find somebody middle-aged who looks at this thing and says, no, I don't want it online. I want you to come to me with a piece of paper and da-da-da-da-da. That's the way I do things. And it's come to the point now where they've run out of runway. And the companies are turning around and saying, number one, for efficiency and also because of fraud and all that stuff, we're no longer operating this way. And you need to get over that threshold of doing things digitally and doing things online. And it's you often see that eureka moment where all of a sudden you had to spend a long time or send a staff member to sit in a Wimpy and show somebody how to use an app. The engagement increases tenfold. You get a WhatsApp to say, oh, I did nicely this month, or where the hell is my money gone? What happened? And all of a sudden there's this engagement because they've got over that fear of the technology bias that a lot of people have. But Thomas, let's come back to your company, to Frank. When did you start it? And you mentioned why, but what was your main thrust when you started it?
Sure. So I left Discovery in 2018. I was working in their product development R&D lab. And we got our license to operate at the beginning of 2020. So what Frank is, we are a digital financial advisor. It's a personal passion of mine to try and expand access to, let's call it sort of wealth coaching, to financial advice to the broader public. The sad reality at the moment is that financial advisors, independent financial advisors, really only service the top 10% from an income perspective. You know, they can't typically handle more than sort of 500 to 1,000 clients, and there are only 5,000 certified financial planners in the country. You know, you can do the math. So the reality is most people actually are left to their own devices when it comes to sort of managing their personal finances. And as we touched on, there isn't a lot of financial education in, you know, in the school curriculum. So we as a business want to help people manage their money better. We obviously use technology to do so. And I just one thing to comment on your previous point. I think it is so interesting to understand how that knowing what's happening with your personal finances is you've got to make it seamless. You've got to make it frictionless. And if you don't do that, the simple burden on trying to overcome those balances can be, you know, very difficult. So it's like creating the seamlessness and the frictionless in order to get going.
And you've done exactly that. As you were talking just now, I'd gone through your website, but I found the link to go on to do your own wealth check. And I would encourage everybody, whether you've got a moment now or tonight, don't leave it for tomorrow because you're going to forget about it. Go on to Frank, read through it. They are beautifully laid out. It's just one long page, different blocks, shows you all the different indices, allows you to benchmark yourself by age, by income. You just get an idea before you move on to doing it yourself. And, you know, half the cure is going to the doctor and telling the doctor where the pain is. If you don't do that, you can be as angry as you want with the doctor. Never going to be able to cure you because the doctor's unaware that you have a problem. You're your own doctor now, and you have a website where all that is available. Thomas, what happens once someone's been through everything and now they're saying, okay, I know the hard facts. I've laid my soul bare. Where do they go from there?
So the important thing is to know is that, you know, you rightly pointed out, not everyone has the same gaps. So using the wealth score, you can identify where your gaps lie. That could be in emergency savings. It could be in retirement. It could be budgeting. It could be managing your debt. But as you say, kind of face the hard truth, like, where are my weaknesses? And we can help you identify those and then work towards improving them. Okay, if I'm, you know, got a real challenge with managing my debt, let's start that journey together. Let's start looking at your expenses. Let's start looking at the budget to see if we can help you do better. And obviously, the wealth check is something that allows you to kind of take that status report, if you will, kind of take an assessment of how you're doing continuously. So you can watch yourself improving and then, you know, okay, what's the other area that needs work? And then you can continue start to better yourself and improve your financial well-being.
Dr. Thomas Brennan, let's take a quick break. We need to run to the shops. We'll be back in a minute.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome back to 101.9 IFM. It is 9 minutes to 12. We've got a few minutes before we wrap up with Dr. Thomas Brennan, the CEO and founder of Frank. During the break, I managed to get up to page 4 of 10 of the financial wellness check. And just the questions have got even someone like myself who does this for clients on a daily basis, really thinking about where I stand. And, you know, Thomas, as we were talking about earlier, it's about sometimes just taking your head out the sand and being honest. You know, the question is, what is your current approach to financial planning? Now, my answer should be, well, I'm right on top of it because I am a financial planner. But am I? Or I don't have a financial plan. I'm not sure. I have goals, but not a clear plan. I have a basic plan, but don't really review it. Have a clear plan and review it regularly. That covers the spectrum of South Africans. So I would really encourage everybody to please just go do it for yourself and allow yourself the opportunity to get yourself back on track. Thomas, going forward, we've got a few minutes left. You guys have been around now for a while. What's in the basket for Frank for the next 2-3 years?
So for us, Avi, it's really about helping as many people as we can build the financial habits that lead to, you know, building confidence and wealth. And I think what's really has been very powerful for us is to see that the data validates, you know, what we've always believed, which is that, you know, you don't necessarily need money. You don't necessarily need, you know, expert financial knowledge. What you do need are good money habits. And that's someplace that anybody can start doing, irrespective of how much you earn. It's what you do with your money that's so much more important than how much money you have. And obviously, for people that are struggling, you know, the first thing you need to do is try get on top of your debt, try budget better, and then start building those financial muscles, financial planning, saving for emergencies, saving for the long term, for retirement. We want to help people do all of that and allow Frank to be that sort of you know, your point of call where you can check in on how you're doing, get the advice you need, get the tips you need, get the access to the products that you need, and manage your general financial well-being and your health and your financial wealth all in one place.
I think that's really, you've really summed it up as individuals and as the country. You know, Tom, something that I came across just this week, and I've come across it often, is that you speak to somebody who really battles to articulate themselves, both in English, secondly, the terminology, third of all, often the signal isn't really great. And as a financial planner, you feel that you've let somebody down who desperately needs to have a conversation. And I would just really like to reach out to children whose parents are older, are needing financial advice and not able to really get it. Here's your tool. Allow your parents or your family member to have access to go through it in their own time, at their own speed. They are super smart people. They just need to do things in a way that they are able to manage the process. And by going through Frank, they will be able to get, you know, the advice and the direction that they need. Thomas Brennan, I don't know why I battled with your first name today, but thank you so much for your time. And more than that, thank you for what you've done for the country. I know it's a business, but it's a business that makes people more secure and allows them to manage their future financially better.
Thanks, Abby. Much appreciated.
Great. Greg, thanks so much for pushing the buttons. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will chat to you next week.